This is the Reality Radio Network on Telstar 5 Transponder 5 and on the internet at realityradionetwork.com.
With your host, Pastor Dan. And now, once again, here's your host, Pastor Dan.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this one-hour live radio broadcast coming to you via realityradionetwork.com, also located at .net and .org. We dedicate this program to Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, the Great I Am. We also dedicate it to His holy remnant, the believing sons and daughters of Jacob Israel, also known as the Caucasian or Covenant peoples of the world. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Tonight is April 22nd, year 2004, Thursday evening. We've entitled tonight's broadcast, The Immigration Invasion, Part 7. Our guest tonight from Colorado is Frosty Wooldridge, and welcome to the program, Frosty.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. It's a pleasure to be with you.
All righty. We might want to remind the listeners that the subtitle for tonight's program is Immigration's Riveting Question to Americans, which is an article written, or commentary article written by Frosty, and we're going to be covering that. The call-in number, if you have a comment and or question tonight, is 260-356-2611. And again, that's 260-356-2611. If you wish to contact us and possibly help out with airtime funding, that would be super, especially since I've joined the ranks of the unemployed. You can contact by Yahweh's design and care of PO Box 436. Again, that's Box 436, Stevensville, Michigan, 49127. Our past programs are on the internet at this location, www.archiveondemand.com. And again, that's archiveondemand.com, $6.95 subscription per month, and that gives you unlimited access. Okay, Frosty, I think it's been, 2 weeks since you've been on?
Yes, sir.
All righty. And now we've got this article on the located at the Washington Dispatch website, and it's Immigration's Riveting Question to Americans, I should say, and you've already given your bio information out to us on the past programs when you've been here, so if you wish, we can dive right into the meat of this article.
Well, that's a pleasure. I would like to give you a few good pieces of news. In the last week, I was on a radio station, the Mark Edwards Show in Las Vegas, with 11 Western states listening, and we're talking hundreds of thousands, potentially into the millions of listeners, and boy, I gave the 12 ways to destroy America, and the phones rang off the hook, and people are awakened as if out of a slumber. And then I was asked to speak on the Barbara Jean Whiteley Show at 6:30 a.m. Talk Radio in Salt Lake City today for 2 hours, and oh my gosh, the reactions and responses were incredible. And now I'm going to be speaking in front of, about 1,000 people down in Las Vegas on June 1st, and have television coverage and so forth, because people are really starting to wake up. And I'm most pleased to share with you, Pastor Dan, and the listening audience, that this humongous work of the last year now, Immigration's Unarmed Invasion, Deadly Consequences, is going to press. It's going into the publisher for the final galleys on Friday. And the front cover was provided by John Slagle, 27-year veteran of the Border Patrol. It just shows a line of illegal aliens just coming across in the bush through Mexico and into the United States. And, of course, it really exemplifies the title of the book, Immigration's Unarmed Invasion, Deadly Consequences. And I've also been told by Governor Lamb to make this book available to all Americans, because it is an action-oriented book. You see it, and then you can take action, and it shows you how to get to the action. And it's going to only be in paperback, so that it's available. It will also be available online, even cheaper than that. And this book is going to wake up America, as I will be on national TV from the publishers putting out a big PR campaign. I expect to go right up to Oprah. Even she will not be able to deny this crisis here for much longer. One of the endorsements, I'd like to read it to you. It was by President Kenneth Orr Hampshire, Advanced Health Group. And he said, boy, you've outdone yourself on this one. Your foreword reads like a thoughtful, well-oiled machine compelling the reader into a non-biased, frank, and honest discussion of a topic that will define all Americans' lives within the next 30 years. And then he says, and I quote this, well, you'll see this in the back cover, few topics that have occupied the minds of men throughout history will affect the course of human events like the topic of this book. Immigration, both legal and illegal, will largely determine if America is to survive as a viable, prosperous nation into the 21st century or sink into the depths of poverty and squalor. Mr. Wooldridge offers a thorough examination of this crucial topic with exhaustive research and critical thinking, coupled with honest motives to offer real solutions to those courageous enough to help prevent the unthinkable. And that is the one by President Kenneth Hampshire. This one is by a Border Patrolman who read this book, John Slagle, 27-year special agent. In times of terrorist threats worldwide and political apathy concerning illegal entries into the United States, violence and crime continues to escalate on the southern Arizona borders. Border enforcement agencies, which include National Park Rangers, Border Patrol, Customs, Sheriff's Departments, and local police, encounter a constant invasion in this nation. Human and narcotics traffickers to thousands of illegal aliens from Mexico as well as other nations cross at will into the United States territory. For anyone that is concerned with the future of this nation, Mr. Wooldridge presents the facts in a politically correct America. This book is compelling reading.
Excellent.
So that's a couple of them. I mean, there's several more here that are, one of my things very important is from a Hispanic lady who is Corinne Flores, an immigrant reform advocate, Santa Fe, New Mexico. She's an all-American gal, and she writes from the Hispanic standpoint, I quote, the media, Hispanic activists, and politicians say Hispanics want high immigration and open borders. That is outrageous. Just as it is outrageous for a handful of self-appointed Latino spokesmen and women to presume to speak for all Hispanics as if tens of millions of us hold the same views on this controversial topic. Many Hispanics, and I believe a majority, want immigration sharply reduced. Mr. Wooldridge and others who speak through the pages of this book set the record straight on why out-of-control immigration impoverishes and endangers America. We are selling our nation's future down the river, socially, culturally, fiscally, environmentally, for no better reason than to provide business with a flood of cheap labor, taxpayer-subsidized immigrant labor. This nation's poor and minorities are hurt the most in the process. I urge all Americans to heed this book's warning.
Wow, I'll tell you what, Frosty, we do have new listeners listening in. Would you mind taking just a couple minutes and explain to them your background and how you've got such a diversified, how do you want to say it, a worldview, let's say, that where you've been around the world and have seen poverty and then immigration and the effects of immigration up close and personal? Just take a couple minutes and cover that real quick.
Okay, it's a pleasure, Pastor Dan. And to the listeners out there, I'm an original Michigan boy. I graduated from Michigan State University in 1970. I did a postgraduate degree from Grand Valley State University. I was a head resident advisor there. I worked under some really brilliant men, and it was a wonderful experience. Moved west to begin teaching in 1973, taught math and science here in the Colorado school system. And what happened to me as a journalist and a writer, I was able to take summers off, and all my years I became a writer, and I was able to, and fortunately hooked up and became passionately involved in touring the world on a bicycle. I have bicycled across the United States 6 times, border to border, coast to coast. I have ridden my bicycle over 100,000 miles on 6 continents, twice around the world, and also from the Arctic all the way down to the Antarctic. I have a new book coming out next month. It's called Bicycling Around the World. I have another one after that called Antarctica and Extreme Encounter. I have another one coming out called, it's a teen novel. It's my second teen novel called Into the Wind. My first teen novel came out 2 years ago, Strike Three, Take Your Base. It's about the early loss of a parent through death or divorce. And in fact, it has some of the books, several chapters play in Michigan and go right up to Reed City, Michigan. And I also have written several other children's books. And the one that's coming out in June or late early July will be Immigration's Unarmed Invasion, Deadly Consequences. And it will be a pretty large book. It's 95,000 words, 33 chapters, has some of the greatest experts in the United States showing how fast this country is being subverted by this immigration crisis, both legal and illegal. It covers the 12 ways that this country is being destroyed. It also shows how to save this country. It gives all sorts of methods on how to save America. And anyway, in my travels through China, India, Bangladesh, all the way down to the bottom of the world, writing a column for the newspapers and writing for the National Science Foundation, I learned how fast we are doing so much damage to this planet, these structural systems, the global warming aspect, the species extinction, and going through the manifestation of that in China and India and all these other countries, South America, the rainforest on the Amazon River. I've been so blessed in my travels. Almost got killed a few times too. I was face to face with a cobra in northern India at one point, and it was not the funny day of my life, I can tell you. However, since I did survive, I'm able to come back and share with American citizens that we are in great danger and that the crisis 50 years ago was ignored in Bangladesh, China, and India, and South America, and they never did anything about their populations. And today, their populations have exploded way beyond carrying capacity, and now millions of people, so far 60-plus million, have immigrated into the United States in the last 39 years. But the problem is that day by day, year by year, around the world, the third world explodes at 8,000 new babies per hour, 192,000 per day, over 70 million per year. So no matter what we do, if we take on 2 million per year, that's only 2 million out of 70, or 2/70. And then if we take on 2 million another year, it's only 2/70 more, or 4/70. But that means that there's 140 million people added to the planet, and we've only taken on 4. And so it is my contention, from my experiences, that we cannot save the world. However, we can destroy our own country. And in the process, we allow all those countries that lack family planning or have religions that refuse family planning, that they will continue to overpopulate at such an excessive rate of speed that the line coming into America never ends. And by the time we get done, we will be like China. And if any of you have traveled like China, where I have on a bicycle, or India, or in Nepal, you do not want to have America turn out like the third world that I've been in. Mexico, Central and South America. The poverty is horrendous beyond your conceptions. And so that's just a little bit of my background.
Well, that's amazing that you would say that, Foxy. I mean, the media has told us for at least the last 20 years that diversity makes us strong, that bringing in all these other people by the boatloads is making us a stronger, better nation. I can't figure out how you can say what you're saying. Do they need to send you back to obedience school? How can you come up here on the program and say that reality doesn't match what the media is telling me? I mean, the media wouldn't lie, would they?
Of course not.
Oh, okay. I'm being facetious, of course.
Of course you are. Well, one of the things that most people don't realize is that the likes of Teddy Kennedy, in fact, Teddy Kennedy has never stepped foot into real life in his entire career in the Senate. He's a man who's had a silver spoon in his mouth, and of course, as he sits up there at his castle, he has never worried about a mortgage payment. He's never worried about the price of milk or the insurance for his car or worried about a job. He, along with all of the other very rich and elite and corporation heads, don't have to send their children to schools that have 20, 30, 40, 50 different languages, or the possibility that those illegal alien children have hepatitis or head lice or Chagas disease.
Hello? Hello? Steve?
Where, Daniel? Sounds like you lost your guess.
All right, you want to play some music? I'll get them back.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Steve Quayle, and for over 10 years and thousands of hours of radio broadcasts, I've been warning and preparing individuals and families of the great perils that are now upon us by having interviews with some of the more interesting and controversial guests in the country. It benefits you to listen in to my previous radio broadcasts, which are available by subscription to archiveondemand.com or by calling Steve Melching at 260-356-2611. Time is running out. The information you may gain could mean the difference between life and death. So once again, call Steve Melching at 260-356-2611.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places besides on the edge of the counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by Americans, designed by Americans, and made in America. Get the Berkey Light, the American water filter, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Okay, you're back up, Daniel.
Quiet. They're not the ones that have to struggle with it. Now, I can guarantee you right now, I think in Detroit, there is a vote in Hamtramck that the immigrant Muslim population there is now forcing the city council to have the mosque blare the great Muslim prayer call 5 times a day across the rooftops of Hamtramck and wherever it reverberates, and they're not going to have to listen to that kind of thing. However, American citizens will have to tolerate that kind of diversity that's been forced upon us. But in fact, if you will look into your email, I have just received today a 20-point plan by the Islamic world to literally take over America. And there's 20 points by a Dr. Karosh, I think his name is. You might look at that and we could discuss that later on. And so, then who among you would like to have your daughter suffer a female genital mutilation if they happen to marry a Middle Eastern man, and then they had a daughter, and then that daughter is subject to what is called a clitorectomy, and that's the kind of diversity that's coming into this country. Again, like I said in the last show, the Mexicans are now bringing what is called horse tripping into this country, and they charge horses around the track and an arena, a rodeo arena, until they go to full speed. And then they just trip them with lariats, and the horses break their shoulders, break their legs, break their necks, and of course, internal injuries, and it's a death sentence, and then they get shipped off to slaughter after they have made their owners some money. And it's against all humanity and the humane society and people against people for ethical treatment of animals will go crazy. But that is being defended by such men as Gabriel Lopez, saying that it's a cultural right in Mexico, and now that they think they should bring it into the United States. So this kind of diversity we have to question ourselves as a first world country, can we tolerate third world activities and traditions? It's been shown that many of the third world have honor killings, where if a wife or a daughter becomes pregnant out of wedlock, they can kill her. They can kill her because it's against Allah, it's against their sacred religious precepts. And so can we do that? Can we allow 13-year-old daughters to be married to 40-year-old men in this country as a cultural right? Can we, the hamam that have come over here from Asia, practice polygamy? Can we allow our country to become a haven for men having 5, 6, 7, 10 wives in Minnesota or in Michigan? Is that a cultural right? So the listeners out there have to realize how fast this illegal and legal immigration is affecting this country, and what is it doing to us as a first world country. And I can guarantee you this, once you read my book, you will be sobered at how fast it's coming in and how quickly it's starting to take over our communities. So when you hear the thing how diversity and multiculturalism is so wonderful for this country, you will have a different thought coming after you read this book. And you're seeing it manifested throughout the country right now, because everywhere these immigrants enclave, they protect all of their traditions and they carry them on, whether we in the first world care about it or not, they continue. And I can go on and on. Cockfighting is a bloody, god-awful tradition of the Mexicans, because they have no regard for animals, truly. They don't have it like we do. They don't even like the dogs. In fact, that's why they have dog fights. Half the dogs stolen in the Phoenix area are stolen for practice for the dog fights for the animals that are actually killing other dogs. They use them. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. I actually wrote a story for misnews.com. That's MICHNEWS.com. And it's just called Third World Animal Cruelty. Look it up in the immigration archives of misnews.com, and you will be horrified. So, Pastor Dan, this diversity thing, the reason it's touted is because those who tout it don't get touched by it.
Uh-huh. Well, I also take it to the point where there's an ulterior motive, another agenda being played out here.
Sure.
It's, as you mentioned, it's partly the cheap labor, but I look at it as even more sinister and more diabolical than that. I believe there are forces at play in this world who want to see the United States, the demise of the United States for their ulterior motives towards a new world order. The average Christian white male in America is the last bastion to fall. Once he has been effectively neutralized, they don't have anybody going to stand in their way. And what better way to take over a very strong and powerful nation than to divide it culturally, divide it between men and women, divide it even now with homosexuality being crammed down our throat, we're going to divide on that issue. We divide racially, even though they say you can't be a racist, you can't say anything racist. Well, that's a lie. Because if you're a non-white, you can say any kind of racial comment you want. The only people who are ever branded, quote, racist are white people. So obviously the target of all this crap, if you want to call it, going on, all this diversity, multiculturalism, all these divisive techniques being used, is to divide and conquer the Caucasian race within the United States and Canada. That is what I see going on, Frosty.
Well, you certainly are right on the money as far as the divide and conquer, and such men as Teddy Kennedy or Orrin Hatch out in Utah, or John McCain down in Arizona, or Wayne Allard in Colorado, or Ben Nighthorse Campbell in Colorado, these men aid and abet illegal immigration by absolutely doing nothing. They have done nothing before 9/11. They have done nothing since 9/11. The southern borders are being poured over, and I will be down on the southern borders in the coming 2 weeks to do a videography, video taping of it, and commentary. I'm going to do a 4 or 5 part series for MishNews.com. But representatives like Mark Udall of Colorado, he loves illegal immigration. He supports the DREAM Act. He wants to give illegal aliens in-state tuition. He wants to help them with scholarships. And this all displaces American citizens' kids, and we're the ones paying for the universities. Colby in Arizona can't wait to help more illegal aliens. So does Flake. And then Chris Cannon of Utah. And if you look at Spencer Abrams of Michigan when he was a senator, he was the biggest pro-illegal alien and massive immigration senator we ever had. And he was, his hand is what has this massive Middle Eastern immigrant mob taking over eastern Michigan and Detroit there. And so you can thank him for that. And the thing is that most people don't realize is that these characters that are in the Senate and the Congress are not representing us, they're representing their own agendas. That's why they support H-1B visas, and most people don't realize it. But H-1B visas have taken almost a million jobs away from American citizens here in this country and stuck them in unemployment lines. And then they support chain migration. Once an immigrant gets legalized over here, they can bring in 100 relatives. And then you've got 200,000 anchor babies every year by women who come across that Mexican border into the four border states, and they drop a baby in a heartbeat, and then, of course, they're on the welfare and tax rolls for the rest of their lives. And then, of course, those babies are then become part of the mob. And, in fact, Mexico has sent 9.2 million of its citizens into the United States. And it's 9.2, almost one-tenth of Mexico now lives in the United States, and even more frightening is the fact that those immigrants send back to their home countries, in Mexico, $15 billion per year. Immigrants from Central South America send back $25 billion of our hard-earned dollars back to their home countries, and they send $16 billion over to Asia. So these immigrants could care less about being American, investing in America, or being America itself. They are simply here to take advantage of the welfare. I don't know if most people realize it, but American citizens are paying, on the average, $90 billion a year for immigrant services. They pay in excess of $7.4 billion a year in the States of the Union just to educate K-12. Uh-huh. And it is absolutely horrific. I'll give you some facts and figures right here. The net fiscal cost of immigration in the state of Georgia. Births to illegal aliens in Georgia in 2000, they had, and these were all costs to the taxpayer, 5,133 births cost taxpayers in Georgia $13 million. In 2001, it jumped to 9,500, almost doubled, and the births cost Georgia taxpayers $23 million. In 2002, the birth rate, because the immigrants are finding how easy it is to take advantage of social services, the immigrants are coming across the borders, and they then had 11,188 births at a cost of $27 million to American Georgia taxpayers. And then, here's another one. Illegal aliens receiving public assistance in 2002 in Georgia, 25,000 children of illegal aliens on food stamps for just for the 1 year totaled $42 million. And then when you start talking about the illegal immigration health care costs, the number of uninsured rose by 2.4 million in 2002. Many Georgia hospitals experienced serious financial problems because they were providing care to uninsured illegal aliens. The Grady Health Care System took on 64,000 doctor visits in 2002 made by Mexican women at a cost of, and Grady Health System is now running a $63 million deficit and wants more money from the state. And then when you go down to the Georgia criminal aliens in Georgia, the Gwinnett Gang Task Force estimated in 2002 there were 171 immigrant gangs in the counties of Georgia, and the cost to Georgia citizens was $15 million that was not covered by the federal government, and the state had to pick up a $13,166,505 bill. Now, I don't know what it is in Michigan right now, but I can guarantee you this. As your immigrant population grows, your health care costs are going to grow to pay for them, and your criminal costs, to, you know, the normal criminal in a federal or state prison is around $33,000 a year. That's what it is out here in Colorado. To feed, to clothe, to medically take care of them, to, you know, keep their TV sets going. And these are people, well, the federal cost is right now 29% of our federal and state prisons are filled with legal and illegal immigrants at a cost of nearly $1 billion per year.
Incredible. We got to take a short break here, Frosty.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
I'll bring you more exciting news when we come back.
This is the Reality Radio Network on Telstar 5 Transponder 5 and on the internet at realityradionetwork.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Quayle, and for over 10 years and thousands of hours of radio broadcasts, I've been warning and preparing individuals and families of the great perils that are now upon us by having interviews with some of the more interesting and controversial guests in the country. It benefits you to listen in to my previous radio broadcasts, which are available by subscription to archiveondemand.com or by calling Steve Melching at 260-356-2611. Time is running out. The information you may gain could mean the difference between life and death. So once again, call Steve Melching at 260-356-2611.
And I'd like to pass it in.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Again, tonight's program is entitled Immigration Invasion, Part 7. Our guest tonight from Colorado is Frosty Wooldridge. Welcome back, Frosty.
Pleasure.
All righty. Now, before we get on with some more of that very interesting news, the call-in number tonight, as usual, is 260-356-2611. And again, that's 260-356-2611. I might add that Fosse loves to get called, so if you're being bashful or you just don't want to interrupt, don't mind. Go ahead and give us a call, okay? So, all right, Fosse, in the meantime, until somebody gives us a call, keep filling us in with this really wonderful news that we've got.
Well, thank you. And as a teacher, I always encourage classrooms to raise their hand and speak up, because the only way you learn something or the only way that you get ahead in this life is you speak up and you stand up and you find out. And so I can go further into those costs, but they run up. I would encourage all listeners out there to go to www.numbersusa.com. I am convinced that the Internet is going to save this country by all of us American citizens banding together and creating such an uproar that we are going to move and or vote those who will support American citizens before there is a point where we will not be able to do anything about it because the crisis will have overwhelmed us. You can also go to my website, frostywooldridge.com. That's FrostyWooldridge.com. For an action list in the state of Michigan, certainly for websites around the country, and you can contact me and I will make sure that you become an active part of this, literally, this race to save our country. So in this piece that was published on Monday, Immigration's Riveting Question to Americans, I asked the questions, and I'm not running for office. So what I did was, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, when it comes to this immigration crisis? Because, as you know, we have about 2.3 million immigrants coming into this country. And the fact is, we have a $7 trillion federal debt. That means every man, woman, and child in this country, red, black, brown, or orange, every race, creed, and color, is up to their hock. Neck in $23,000 worth of debt the day they're born. And the interest on that debt is over $600 million a day. I mean, check it out, that's what it is, $600 million a day, just to pay the interest per day on the federal deficit. And, of course, the consumer debt is $2 trillion, and the average credit card is $8,000. So are you better off when you start extrapolating the cost that you are paying for immigrants? Now, everybody says, well, they're doing the job that Americans won't do. Well, unfortunately, when they do those jobs, they don't pay taxes. They are working under the table. They are working for minimum wage or even less. And they're sneaking around living 20 to a trailer and 3 to 5 cars in the front yard. They simply use our schools to the tune of, again, $7.4 billion a year. They use our medical services and bankrupt hospitals into the billions of dollars. They are in our, they're in our prisons. They simply are giving us diseases, such as I've gone over before, the tuberculosis, the leprosy, the Chagas disease, the Newcastle disease. They're bringing us third world traditions, again, such as female genital mutilation, that is considered in this country barbaric. And so anyway, I'm going to go over some of the questions. Are you better off today? I'll give you an example. Are your schools better, in better shape, as they cope with multiple languages, up to 100 languages in states like California that has over 3 million illegal aliens? How about overcrowded classrooms? How about the fact that California, that leads this crisis, has to build one new school per day, 7 days a week, and staff it with qualified teachers who can speak up to 100 languages? And this is going to be in perpetuity because California is growing at 1,500 people per day and are adding 600 cars per day to their highways. Can you imagine trying to breathe the air in Los Angeles right now? And, or would you like your children to be going to school as they fight through the drug-infested streets, as they fight through the gangs, and as they get to school, being an American there anymore doesn't cut it because you will be hassled by all of these other ethnic groups that have no intention of becoming Americans. And so you have to ask yourself, and the rising campus violence, and of course, teacher shortages. I can tell you right now, so many teachers are quitting because they're simply, they are just harried beyond capacity. And right now, the population of students in this country is 53 million, and it's heading for 97 million. 97 million.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, and it's not going to end. And what we're doing as we continue to add this humongous number of people is we're headed for 200 million more people in America by just past 2050. And then you have to ask yourself, are your students in these overcrowded schools with all these languages, are they better off, and are they learning enough to face this new century in the global marketplace? And then you have to question yourself, since the corporations are outsourcing and insourcing labor and offshoring work, how good is your education going to be anyway, because they're taking the jobs, the IT jobs, right over to Pakistan and India and China, and they're, what, wasn't an American flyer just 2 or 3 weeks ago, the little red wagon that we all pulled as kids, wasn't that just outsourced to China?
Yeah.
It certainly was. You better believe it. And so here we are, our own corporations enjoying what this country and this citizenship has built. A solid foundation, a solid community, a solid country of ethics and values and morals and standard of living and quality of life, and we've built the rule of law, and yet our own corporations are taking for maximum profits. And I want to explain this. You have to understand that the Ken Lays out there, the ones that ran Enron and Skilling and all those other characters, those men were taking millions of dollars for their own benefit at the detriment of thousands and thousands of honest employees. And in the end, who paid? Who suffered? Well, we did, and they walked off. I don't think Ken Lay right now is still in jail, and he should be in jail. Well, think about dozens, hundreds, thousands of Ken Lays who are cheating American citizens, who are sending jobs overseas, who are insourcing cheap labor, and this H-1B and L-1 visas. It's the biggest scam of all. And I wrote a piece on it with Dr. Gene Nelson last year. It was called the H-1B Visa, an American Scam. These third world people come over here, are trained by our IT workers, and then our IT workers are laid off. And then what they do is their paychecks are get paid half the money. They get sent back over. They get paid back in their own countries, don't pay any taxes on the paychecks. And then they get a living stipend monthly for room and board, and then they let their kids go to our schools and don't pay anything in taxes. So it's a double whammy for us. We're sitting in the unemployment line, and then, of course, we have these foreigners working our American jobs. So are you better off because of insourcing? Are you better off because of outsourcing? And are you better off because of offshoring? The fact of the matter is, the President of the United States and the Congress are doing this to you. And whether it's Levin or whomever else is your congressperson in your district, why don't you call them up and ask them, why are they supporting chain migration? Why are they supporting diverse diseases that dump all these? I mean, Lewiston, Maine, just a year ago, got 12,000 Bantus that have just stepped out of their grass huts and no personal sanitation. They're the ones that commit this female genital mutilation on their children, and they're dumping these people on us. And why is it that we need them? What for? What is the point of it? Now, if you're bringing it further here, if you're in California, Texas, Colorado, Georgia, or North Carolina, you kids are sitting in a classroom with a minimum of 20 different languages. And what is the good of having 20 to 50 or even more languages when your own children can't learn? Because as a teacher, and I taught at Beckwith Elementary in Grand Rapids, and I taught at Franklin Street School in Grand Rapids when I was in Michigan, the teachers are losing their minds trying to teach to all these children coming from all these countries that cannot speak English. And therefore, they only teach down to the children that can understand, and your children lose out. Because almost always the teacher has to teach down to the lowest common denominator. And these kids are coming from countries that have no really investment in education. So often I found when I was teaching out here that the socioeconomic lower groups of people in my classrooms, their activity for homework was watching TV, because that's what the parents did. And so there was no value for the education or doing homework, and therefore the children, as a matter of fact, here in Colorado, 51% of the graduating class of the Denver Public Schools a year or so ago flunked out or quit before they graduated.
Wow.
51%. So then I ask you the question, how long can democracy exist without an educated population? And I've said it before, democracy, this republic, requires an educated population with a similar moral and ethical foundation, pulling in the same direction and speaking the same language. If you can see what's happening in Detroit right now with Hamtramck, you've got an enclaving of these immigrants who have they don't want to disperse into the American scene and become American citizens and become part of this great, adventure, if you will, and freedom. They're starting to enclave and creating their own, well, in Fremont, California right now, they call it Little Kabul. It's an Afghanistan stronghold. It's run out all the American citizens, and they've colonized it. And pretty soon you'll see that most of the immigrants that are in Detroit there are not speaking English, and they could care less if you do or don't like it, and they sure as heck won't care whether you do or don't like the fact that they're blasting music to call to prayer across the rooftops of Detroit during all parts of the day. And so anyway, you see, is that making you better off here with this great diversity?
Well, this gets down to the point of in our history where we bought the big lie that we were being unfair by not allowing non-white, non-Christians into our government, into the voice of how to run this country. You know, if you were to go over, Frosty, to Israel today, you would not be welcome to be part of the Knesset. You are not Jewish. You are not a Jew. And therefore, you're not going to be invited to be part of their government. You could go to Saudi Arabia, and you're not going to be invited to be part of their government. You could go to China, and you're not going to be invited to be part of their government because they're going to put people in there to keep their culture going. So why is it that Americans became the dumbest people on the planet and bought this big lie that we were unfair and not opening it up to every person under the sun to be part of the decision-making process, whether it's at the township level or the federal level?
Daniel?
Yes, sir.
You have a caller.
We have a caller, Frosty. Okay, let's take it.
You have an excellent question, Pastor Dan, and I will answer it after this caller.
All righty.
Yes, hi, Frosty. Pleasure meeting with you. Ken out of Indiana.
Thank you very much.
I had a quick story for you. A couple weeks ago, I went to Northern California, had a great time. Trip was wonderful, so I came down to San Francisco to actually fly back home. And I was standing in line. Well, first of all, I was driving to the airport. I transported myself just driving through San Francisco into a new country. There wasn't one street sign that I could read in English. I saw a lot of signs that were saying, go home, gringo, and unless I knew Chinese, I wasn't getting very far. So I was standing in line to get my tickets, and a stewardess turned around and started talking to me. She said that she had been there for about a week. She said she had talked to multiple people just trying to get around the city. Not one of them spoke English. She said she would never, ever be back, and she said she actually a couple times had her life threatened just standing on the streets of California, and she said California does not belong to the United States any longer. So any of the listeners out there, if they don't think that what you're saying is true, all they need to go is the flat to California, to San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Diego, or on the East Coast, or even down to Florida, and they will be transported to another country. It's just unreal what is going on out there. So I'm asking you, is what can we do? We're kind of protected here in the Midwest somewhat. What can we do as Americans to get this country back? We're losing it.
You make such an excellent point, and you're exactly right. I was just in California twice last year, and it's absolutely T-shirts, go home, gringo. Gringos, Republic of Azatlan, we don't need you. All different languages and road signs, and you're not welcome in Los Angeles anymore, and you can't ask for directions in San Francisco anymore and get an English answer whatsoever. And there are absolutely so many non-Americans and un-Americans in the state of California. Last year, 800,000 Californians left the state of California, fled the state of California, because they could not stand the fact that it was being taken over by, literally, even on the ballot for the governor of California last year, there was over 20 languages. And so then you have to ask yourself, whose country is this? Well, I'll tell you right now, it's everybody's country and nobody's country, and if we're losing this country. If you look at Vancouver, the Canadians have given up Vancouver. It's nothing but Chinese over there. And you may think that you are safe in Indiana and Illinois and certainly in Michigan, but you are not, because you have to understand there are 2 million of these immigrants coming in every year, and they're spreading out across this country. And so that's why in my book I call for a 10-year moratorium on all immigration, deportation of all of this 13 million illegal aliens, passing of the CLEAR Act, border troops on the border, and for American citizens, you have to get up and start screaming, yelling, calling, writing. Go to my website, frostywoodridge.com. It'll give you an action list. You have got to make yourself heard. You have got to be like Thomas Jefferson was back in 1776. He could have been hung for treason, but he stood up for America. Ben Franklin, Betsy Ross, Susan B. Anthony, Eleanor Roosevelt, Dr. Martin Luther King, Barbara Jordan said this way back when herself, when she was in the Congress, that this country is under an assault. And the gentleman who just called, I think it was Steve, you see it and you saw it. And it's happening so fast. Miami right now literally is a little Cuba. And you are not welcome. And there is an entire chapter in my book where they practice what is called Santeria. Or Santeria. It's animal sacrifices, and you can be sitting in your apartment complex on a Sunday morning after church, and you will see goats with their heads cut off and chickens floating down the river because they have been sacrificed at an altar just apartments or two away. And they, in the evening at a celebration, they shoot their guns off into the air, not caring where the bullets. And one Cuban said, Miami was nothing until we came. And They literally are enclaving and colonizing Miami to the degree that it is no longer an American city. And so, absolutely, we are in trouble, and the biggest key is that we must shut down those borders for a 10-year timeout or moratorium, and then once we, if we even allow them to come open again, no more than 100,000 immigrants, and they must speak English before they get here, and we must have all of our documents and governments and papers and radio stations and TVs speaking English so that these people that are here will become Americans, will be forced to speak our language, and we will not and cannot tolerate third world activities such as horse tripping, cockfighting, dog fighting, 13-year-old daughters being pushed into 40-year-old men marriages. We cannot allow the female genital mutilation. We cannot allow all of these diseases to continue into this country. And the way to do that is we have to have a 10-year moratorium on all immigration. And it means you, American citizens, get on your internet, get on these websites, and start taking action.
Well, this American's going to stand up and fight for his country. Dan Foster, you guys are true leaders. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Cap.
Thank you,
Kemp from South Bend. Thank you. Well, Clark, I'm going to make a prediction here, and again, this is just my opinion. But if Americans, and when I say Americans, I'm talking about Christian, Caucasian, particularly the men of that group, because that's who founded this country. Whether anybody likes to hear that or not, I really don't care. That is a historical fact. That is who founded this country. That is the group of people whose laws were the basis of this country. It came from Western European nations where the Anglo-Saxon common law was the foundation of this country and made it the greatest nation on earth. When that group of people made the laws and enforced the laws and taught the laws, not only in the local churches, which were called meeting houses back then, by the way, not churches, I don't like the word church, meeting houses, and they taught it to their families in their homes, because we were having a moral meltdown in this country as well as an invasion by immigrants. When that group of men returns to power, when they get a testosterone shot and stop being the wimps that they've turned into in this country, and they take their families back, when they take their townships back, and they get back into the halls of government where they belong, they kick everybody else out. If they don't belong to that group, that is the only time this is going to turn around in time to save it, Frosty, because my prediction is that it's going to just keep right on going until we fall flat on our face and we are just one more civilization on the trash heap of history because we got fat, dumb, and lazy and stupid with affluence, just like every other civilization ever did, and we are making all the same mistakes every other civilization ever did, and massive immigration is the fastest way to destroy a strong, healthy, homogeneous population that is a strong society. We are going right into the trash heap if we don't turn this thing around.
And I might add, Pastor Dan, that we better turn it around very quickly. I suggest within the next year or two at the most, because at some point they will have come in so many numbers that we will not. They're starting to really take over major places. I mean, California is gone. Miami, Florida is gone. Arizona is nearly gone. Texas is close to being gone. I'll ask you another question on this editorial that I wrote. Do you feel more secure as diseases enter our nation on the bodies of the 10 million unscreened illegal aliens and the poorly screened legal immigrants? How many of you know that 16,000 new cases of MDR, incurable tuberculosis, have now migrated into the country from immigrants coming in illegally across the Mexican border? And that MDR tuberculosis is mycobacterium tuberculosis. I'm a former cardiac catheterization at Butterworth Hospital in Grand Rapids, and I can tell you this. Your kids get sneezed on, coughed, and if you're standing in the Kmart line or Meyer's 50 Acres, and I used to know Fred Meyer and his beautiful wife and the kids, Mark, and the rest of them, you could be standing right next to somebody who's got this MDR tuberculosis, and if they sneeze or cough on you, you get it, and it's a death sentence. If you're in a grocery store or a restaurant and you're having salad, you're talking about immigrants that don't wash their hands after going to the bathroom because it's not in their nature, and they're cutting up your onions, they're cutting up your tomatoes, your salad, and they're washing your dishes. You're going to catch hepatitis. And if we know a Chi-Chi's restaurant in Pennsylvania, of course, did have three people die and over 1,000 people were exposed. And then you start thinking about the 7,000 new cases of leprosy that have come into the United States in the last 3 years from India, Brazil, and the Caribbean through Mexico because these people are unscreened. You are now at risk for catching what is Hansen's disease, is now known, a biblical disease that in the last 40 years, only 900 cases in the United States. And why is that? Well, the reason is we've built up high sanitation, personal sanitation and hygiene and health care in this country so that we don't do the things that people do in third world countries that can catch that kind of a bacterium and inflict it on others. And we're the ones that stopped. There was virtually no tuberculosis in this country 5 years ago. Now we have in excess of 16,000 cases, and it's been known as a walking time bomb by Dr. Lee Reichman, and it's like an Ebola with wings. And one person who has it can infect anywhere from 10 to 30, 40 or more people and before they even become typical. You know, they show it. They're atypical before that. And so are we better off with this and all these kinds of diseases in the last 4 years, the last 8 years of this, or the last 20 years of this massive immigration invasion? So those things you have to ask yourself. And if you think you can sit back and you're not going to get affected, I guarantee you, I have a piece in the book that says even the rich, one guy that was infected with tuberculosis was the chauffeur for a higher up rich man in the New York. And so his chauffeur had the tuberculosis. So every time he drove around in his fancy car, he was breathing from the sneezing and coughing of his chauffeur. He caught the tuberculosis. Another lady in Florida was a high rich lady. Her kid went to private school. But guess what? Her nanny had tuberculosis, the MDR tuberculosis, and her kids got it. So you can't escape it when it's all over the place, no matter if you are a very rich elite type or you're simply the rest of us down there with the kids. And those, there's 1.5 million illegal alien school kids in our schools across this nation. How many in Michigan? How many in Ohio? How many in Indiana?
How many of you? Far too many.
Oh, far too many. And so you parents out there, your kids are at risk.
We got 45 seconds, Frosty. I'll give it to you.
Okay, and thank you. I'm going to be down the border of Mexico here in the next week or two, and I'm going to bring back a report. But I urge you to join numbersusa.com or go to my website, frostywoodridge.com. Read Mish News, MICHNEWS.com, where I write a lot for, and the WashingtonDispatch.com. I have a piece in there in the next day. I think it's going to be in tomorrow. And it'll show you the crisis day by day. I write 2 and 3. My book will be coming out in June or July, Immigration's Unarmed Invasion, Deadly Consequences, and it will be the Paul Revere book of the 21st century. This country is in trouble, and we can do something about it, and I urge every American citizen who's listening to get on the Internet and help your friends, and let's start taking action individually and collectively. God bless.
Yeah, very good, Foster. Thanks for being our guest. Thanks for listening, folks. Yahweh bless everybody. Hallelujah.
This is the Reality Radio Network on Telstar 5 Transponder 5 and on the Internet at realityradionetwork.com.